Hello, I'm Michaela Maguire, Artistic Director of the Sydney Writers' Festival. You're listening to a live recording from Roslyn Packer Theatre at the 2017 Festival.
Wow. You!
There are real people here.
Yeah, there are!
Oh, God. Straight onto the wine, as you can see.
We actually considered, we were talking about this before.
It's not Chilean, sorry.
We were talking before and we were saying to John on side stage, we were saying, oh, we'd like to have wine, and Jamie had the idea of hiding it in a mug so you people wouldn't notice.
Like, this is like a classy event. I didn't want it to be like, well.
Well, you know, nothing's classier than drinking wine out of a mug.
No, they wouldn't know it was wine, was my thinking. Obviously, it was poor rationale, I'm sorry.
Jamie Morton, everybody.
Thanks very much.
There's so many.
And Ben Jenkins, everybody.
Hello. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you all so much for coming. So the way this is going to work is we're going to have a chat for a while, and you're going to listen to that. Because that's the arrangement that we have. And then toward the end of it, you guys are going to be able to ask Jamie some questions yourself. We've got mics there and there. And so start thinking about the sort of questions you'd like to ask. But first, I've just got to... By round of applause, and this is going to be... This feels a bit like a pointless question, but who here has listened to the podcast?
Yay. Some people haven't.
Yeah, that's odd.
This will make no sense.
I'll try
my best to contextualise it for you.
Can I ask... I'd be keen to know this.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get shamed. By round of applause, has anybody not listened to the podcast?
Oh, God. Probably best just to go now, because there's going to be a few blue jizz-shaped spoilers in the evening, but...
So, for the benefit of these wonderful people who've just seen this event and gone,
What was the impetus to come to this thing? Porn, great. I'll watch that en masse in a huge auditorium full of people.
It's wonderful, thank you. This is the
We appreciate it, though.
It's the spirit of adventure, it's great.
Of course.
But for their benefit and for mine, too, because I'd love to hear you... Tell me this moment. The name of the podcast is My Dad Wrote a Porno. Can you take us back to the moment when you said to yourself, perhaps out loud or internally, My Dad Wrote a Porno? Like, when did you find it out? Where were you? How did this come across your...
It was a moment of... it's changed my life, obviously, because I'm sat here. It was basically... It all started because my dad... At my sister's... birthday party, my dad took me to one side and he was like, he's from Northern Ireland, so I'll do a terrible accent. He was like, Jamie, go to the study. I was like, okay, fine. So the thing is, I've been writing a book, but don't tell the girls. I'm going to send it to you. Enjoy it. I was like, great, this is awesome. Like, you know, he's just newly retired. You know, like, what a better way for an ex-builder to spend his time than writing a book. Great.
So this was a complete... Had he ever kind of mentioned that he had a literary bent?
No. He's bent in many ways, but not literary, no. And then he just sent it to me, and I didn't open it for about 3 weeks. Because, you know, when your dad sends you, like, an email, you're like, cool, yeah, just don't open it, so you know that you've got to read it at some point.
Yeah.
And I was like... I finally opened it, and I was like, okay, I'm quite excited to read this. You know, what's it going to be, like, pirates, or, like, you know, like a Bond spin-off or something?
Yeah.
And the first line...
Yeah, because it does get right into it, doesn't it?
...is Belinda blinked, the job interviewer just asked her to remove her jacket and silk blouse.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck, my dad's written a porno. Oh, my God. Like, what the fuck? And also, A, he's written a porno... in the garden shed without my mum knowing about it, as it turned out. But also, he sent it to me. His son. But not the girls, because that's normal. Like,
yeah, you had to keep it from the girls.
Yeah, the girls are like my three sisters being the girls, and my mother, obviously.
What do you think your mum thought he was doing when he was, like, retiring to the writing shed? Well, I suppose back then she just thought it was a shed.
Yeah, well, he calls it the pavilion, so...
He does.
And he like, built it... from his own hands. So I just thought...
From with... It's a very important decision.
I'm related to Rocky Flintstone. Do not judge my language skills, all right? I guess she just was relieved that he wasn't in the house. You know, cluttering up her life. She was like, that's fine, whatever he's getting up to. But yeah, he said... So I realised that he was writing porn. And I just was like... this is disgusting, worrying. So I slammed the laptop shut and I was like,
like,
oh,
literally,
my God.
Like, ah!
Yeah, honestly, I was like, what? Because how do you process that? Not normal. Went to the fridge, got a beer, drank it, got another beer.
Poured it into a mug so people wouldn't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I've got to read it. Because, like, this could be really funny or really disturbing. And so I just, like, really tentatively, like, opened it up again. He can't spell. His grammar is unorthodox to say. I mean, it just was it was just gold. I was like, this is brilliant. It's about pots and pans. It's like part business manual, part terrible erotic novel.
I think that is one thing that I find the most charming about.
Charming.
I do. I love that he's obviously got a eye on the market. And he's like, well,
not the right market.
It's been very successful, I should say.
No, well, yeah, that's
where
true.
He's gone, I will make a kind of thing that teaches people good business strategies, but
yeah,
there's a bit of eroticism on the way to keep them going.
Absolutely.
But he hasn't blended those things. Like, there's just
no.
We were talking before and you were like, oh, chapter 3 is the one where it's just all about business.
Fucking chapter 3, honestly. Cost centres, you can't get a taxi because the fare's too low. What even? It's not even business. That's terrible business, actually. I mean, yeah.
So,
the man's demented.
So it's one thing to understand that this is happening, and I imagine that took a while to actually for it to sink in.
Yeah.
And also the most horrifying thing that Jamie just said was that he had no idea that his father ever wanted to do this, which means that any of you, this
porn
could happen to you. Like,
yeah, porn comes from somewhere. Not normally 60-year-old Northern Irish men in their sheds, but you know.
So
you
your 60-year-old Northern Irish father in his shed has written a porno. He sent it to you.
Yes.
But not the girls.
Not the girls.
And how do you make that leap between I need to read this for my dad or for morbid curiosity, and I need to get two of my very good friends and make a show about this. What's that in between area to me is an interesting space.
It was a surprisingly quick process. I just realized how good it was. Breast nipples. Vaginal lids. Respective steaming vaginas. I mean, it's all in chapter 1. You're like, runnels of liquid trickling down the lower left thigh. What's a lower left thigh? What's a runnel? What's the liquid? None of it makes sense to me. So I just had to share it with all of my friends. And as luck would have it, the next day we were all meeting up for a nice kind of very actually well-to-do Christmas dinner in a really posh Hampstead pub.
Sorry. Did
really
you read
nice
your father's
London.
Porno on Christmas Eve?
No, this is the week before Christmas.
Right, okay.
It was my friend's Christmas
right,
day.
Yeah.
You know, you do that with your friends? You're like, have to spend Christmas Day with, you know, my porn dad. But
we can all relate.
I'll spend a real Christmas with you guys, but it'll be on like the 23rd of November. So I kind of was like, guys, because they all knew my dad, because I've been friends with these guys for like, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, so, my dad's written a porno. His name's now Rocky Flintstone. And they were like, what? This, oh God. And I brought it with me. Yes! Some, like, James popped some champagne at that point, was like, this is gonna be the best day ever. And so he'd only sent me the first three chapters, but chapter 3 was in bullet point form. So, which was actually what he ended up publishing. So it was actually, it was exactly as you read it to this day. And so I just started just to read it. And I was only going to read like the first, like, you know, sentence or two. We cleared out the pub. Like, we were like shrieking like banshees. My mate Alex was like crying. He didn't make it to the podcast, unfortunately. He was cut.
Very emotional.
Which is a bit like, was on holiday with two of them who were at the meal who didn't go on to the podcast. And they were like, so, How's the podcast going?
Yeah, they feel like the peak best of
like,
podcasting.
Going to Sydney? Great. Enjoy that. Like, we just thought 5 voices would be too many. And also, you're not funny, so sorry.
Yeah, well, fuck you. And in fairness, their podcast, My Friend's Dad Wrote a Porno, is going from strength to strength.
It's so popular, I know. Yeah.
So you had this. You had this moment at the pub.
Yeah.
A Yuletide scene.
It was lovely. It was snowing.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful scene. Very Dickensian, actually.
I'm imagining that.
With yeah.
Word vaginal lids being thrown around.
Yeah. I was shouting it.
It's a modern retelling of A Christmas Carol, anyway.
It really is. Yeah.
Then you decided to make this.
Yeah, so Alice Levine, who's one of my co-hosts on the show, became worryingly obsessed with it. Like, to the point of, she was like, can you send it me? As like an attachment? I'm like, why? She read it to everyone she met. Like, honestly, we had like, and there's this, she works at Radio 1, and one of the other presenters at Radio 1 became so obsessed with it that he tried to like find ways to get into her email to get hold of the text. Because she was like, I can't give it to you. It's Jamie's dad. So we were just like, people seem to be enjoying this shit book. Let's record us reading said shit book, chatting about it, and basically do what we did at the pub in front of, you know, 3 listeners was what we thought. This is what happened.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, actually, because one of the things that I find so amazing about the podcast, and you there are podcasts that start off as basically what you're saying, which is just friends being like, oh, we should make a thing, and I'm thinking of and then explode. So I'm thinking of things like Chapo Trap House. I'm thinking of things like Guy Montgomery and Tim Batts.
Yeah.
Worst of all time. These were things that started off as basically a bit of a lark, and then they became enormously successful. And one of the interesting things about when you listen to those podcasts, the first 3 or 4 episodes are essentially unlistenable.
Yeah, they're shit,
They are. Well, they are because they haven't worked it out. They don't know what it is.
Yeah.
The audio's terrible. The format's wrong. They don't vibe in the way that you came to sort of love them. But the gate...
It's an evolution, definitely. Yeah,
but out the gate for My Dad Wrote a Porno, I mean, it builds, but episode 1 versus episode, you know, the... season 2, that they sound the same, you have the same dynamic, you have the same attitude and tone, which makes me wonder, did you have a chat? Did you sit down and go, this is how we want to make it, this is what we want to do? Like, what was that process?
Yeah, very much so. Like, yeah, we talked a lot about it, actually, because it is sensitive material, just in terms of, like, it is my dad,
you
know, and I love my dad, obviously. I know you can't tell by what I do for a living, but I do actually really like him. He's a friend of mine. We chat often. And we did talk about it. We were like, we don't want it to be cruel. We don't want it to feel alienating. And also, we were like, we're a very close group of friends, the 3 of us. But we never wanted it to feel like you were kind of not a part of us. We always wanted it to feel like the listener was the 4th friend round the table with us, reading this, discovering this book as we were. You know, any kind of mention of an in-joke that we have that you wouldn't have garnered from the podcast gets cut, because we want everyone to be able to be as invested with this book and with us as possible. So, you know, we record for like maybe like an hour and a half, 2 hours. I know. And then we edit it down, because most of it is just me being like, oh my God, remember like that did that thing?
Right.
It's really similar to this. And when her vaginal lids popped. And obviously, no one gives a shit about that, because who's Nat and shut up, go on with the book. So
she sounds amazing, by the way.
She is great, yeah. But so all of that kind of gets cut, and that was a very conscious thing. And also, you know, because I get this so often. How dare you? Your dad followed his dream. Yes, because his dream was writing porn in the garden shed. That's not anyone's dream. Of course I asked him if it was okay.
What was that process? Because obviously, like, he didn't ask you if it was okay.
But, exactly.
But no, obviously it's very different. Well, functionally not. But when you wanted to make this, how did you go about making sure that everybody was...
Yeah, well...
If you did.
Yeah, no, yeah, I did. Of course I did.
I don't know, you could be a monster. I've known you a day.
I'm such a dick. Yeah, no, it's true. No, so I was like... So we were reading the book and I was like, we should do a podcast. Okay, cool. Then I had to like talk to my dad and be like, you should... Because it was just 3 chapters. So I was like, he needs to kind of keep writing. So I like called him up and I was like, hey, Dad, read your book. Really good. Interesting. He was like, did you like it? I was like, well, I wouldn't say I liked it. But it's interesting. But I think there's real potential. You should maybe think about writing a chapter 4 and maybe like make it into a real book. And he was like, I've written 4 books already. What? Since when? Like the 3 weeks you sent me the email of like 2 chapters and some bullet points. What? And he was like, I've been working on this for some time. I was like, really? Because it doesn't show.
So he'd already written, he just sent you the first 3 chapters, a little serial.
Yeah. Well, so this is my theory. Because my dad's like the biggest wind-up merchant in the world, he was trolling me. He blatantly was like, I'm going to send him this book to fuck him up. Except, no. I raised him.
You really did.
And now everyone knows that he thinks that breasts look like pomegranates. So
he does show.
I feel like I've won.
We will get to this, but he does show us, for someone who has clearly sired at least 4 children and had sex at least 4 times, he does show astonishing lack of knowledge of the female anatomy.
Yeah. Journalists often ask me, like, so did you ever have the birds and the bees chat with your dad? No, because I'm not in prison. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, obviously not, because he doesn't know what a vagina is. He thinks you can grab a cervix. These aren't things that you would ever communicate to your, you know, prepubescent son. So I've learned a lot about my dad.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But the interesting thing about my dad, and this is an interesting thing about, you know, maybe a generational thing or just my dad, but he loves the podcast. Like, so when we said, I'm going to do a podcast,
yep.
He was like, that's fantastic. Brilliant. What's a podcast? I was like, it's like a radio show you can download. He's like, brilliant. Because he was just thinking, you know, can sell some e-books here, which he hasn't, by the way. He sold about 4, I think. And even one of those got sent back. I was like, yeah. You should definitely just keep writing. And then I was like, okay, I have to check with all my actual family, with my mum and my sisters. And I played the first episode to the whole family to check that they were all right.
In the room?
Yeah.
Were you sat there or did you leave?
No, I was there. My mum left, but I was still there. She was like, this is disgusting. Because my mum is like fierce. Like, I was quite impressed that he did it, to be honest with you. I was like, it's pretty good that you are tempting the wrath of my mother. But she was like, this is disgusting. She went to the fridge, she grabbed a bottle of wine, she went up to her bedroom. I was like, cool. And the doors to our living room have like glass in them, and I could like, as I press play, I could see like her like sneaking down the stairs and like sitting on like the middle step like a naughty kid with a bottle of wine. And I was like...
Like a very naughty kid with a bottle of wine.
Yeah, a very naughty, yeah, exactly. And I was like, Mom, I can see you. She's like, what? I'm just checking for something on the stairs. Yeah, of course you are. I was like, come in, listen to it. I need to get everyone's kind of approval. And luckily, everyone found it funny apart from my mum, and so we did the podcast.
So have those views changed since...
No. Mum doesn't listen to it. She's banned it from the house. We can't talk about it. In fact, and do you know what? My dad's he's such a... Because my mum doesn't listen to the show. And when we made our book last year, like they actually made a real thing and we kind of... They're for sale, I think. Just so you know what I'm talking about. Not like the ebook. And with that advance, my dad redecorated the hallway. He wallpapered the hallway of my mother's house with wallpaper with pomegranates on it. She didn't know what that meant for about 3 months. She was like, I love that jazzy pattern. Isn't that nice? Jamie, look what your dad's done. He's actually got taste. And I was like, you do know what that was like. He's slowly turning this house into the shrine of Flintstone. I was like, so that was an interesting conversation.
Did you guys have a chat at all? Because one of the things that I find kind of remarkable about it is that it's not an idea that actually... I mean, I've heard people saying, oh, well, how could you ever fuck that idea up? It's so perfect.
Yeah.
But I actually think it's actually a really hard brief and you managed to kind of nail it every time. Did you guys have a chat about, like... I think the thing about cruelty is really interesting because yeah. It is sort of mocking your father, but it never feels cruel. It like, comes from a place of love. But there's also stuff, you know, especially when it's about certain kinks and about, like, sort of sex. It's very sex positive, which is funny for a podcast that is basically just mocking, and rightly so, an absurd erotic novel. Was that a discussion you guys had at all?
The cruelty thing was, we never wanted it to be like, oh my God, what's Belinda doing? Or what is my dad, like, why does he think that that's, well, no, we do say that. Why do you think that's sexy? But only when, like, you know, she's like...
But it's more just like the human body doesn't work that way, rather than, like,
Because we aren't there to judge, like, you know, you can enjoy it. And what is interesting about my dad's writing is that actually it has been proven that, you know, my dad's book is quite a feminist book because it passes the Bechdel test over and over again.
Really?
Yeah. Named characters chat about stuff that don't involve men. I mean, mainly dildos, but that's not a man.
Sure.
And so it's actually quite an interesting book in that respect, because actually most porn isn't about women. And Belinda Blinkt is all about the women. It's like the Duchess, Giselle, Bella/Donna, Belinda, obviously. The men are kind of like, they're just, I mean, well, all characters in the books are ciphers, but the men are particularly...
Absolutely, yeah.
...poorly drawn.
So, it's interesting listening to it, though, and I kind of remember, moving on, like, it's kind of interesting listening to it because, as I was saying before, it's such a consistent show that I actually can't pinpoint the moment that it exploded. The moment that it got huge. When was that? Because you don't really change it up once you...
No, well, I think the thing is, because we record it in our kitchens, we take it in turns, so you can actually hear the different sound qualities versus whose kitchen
it is. Are they like real aficionados that like, oh, that's a James House one?
Mine's the best sound. Because my living room has carpet, which is...
Oh, well, don't boast, mate. Come on.
It's quite 90s, isn't it, to have carpet? Because we do it like that, and we always cook for each other before we kind of record, and it's a very social thing, and I'm obviously drunk. The other two don't drink at all. They just have, like, chamomile tea. I'm, like, boring.
Alice doesn't really drink, does she?
No, not really. Yeah. I mean, she does, but, like, once a year. She's always funny when people tweet her going, like, I'm going to have a great night out with Alice Lee. And I'm like, you're not. She'll be at home by 9. But you can think you're having a great time with her. No, she's great. But because we do it like that, it is so intimate. It's me reading my dad's porn to my two best friends in my kitchen or in Alice's kitchen or in James's kitchen. We don't ever think about an audience. We don't think about a listener in terms of, you know, what we're saying. That's very much in the edit where that gets crafted. Like, when we're...
And you edit it, don't you?
Yeah, I edit the show. So I listen to my dad's porn many, many times.
Yeah, the ability that you had to quote it just off the top of your head was quite alarming.
Any passage you can... Any passage? I can recite any passage.
Truly our Rocky's son.
But because of that, we never feel... like we're making a show that loads of people listen to. So I think
but at what point did you realise? Oh my God, this is huge. Like, because you,
we didn't really.
What do you like? Did you have like figures? Like, did you know how many people were listening to it?
The day we hit a million listeners was like a big day.
I imagine so. Yes, I imagine that may have been the moment. But like, what was the trajectory of it? Because you record it, you put it out, and then there's. You hit a million listeners. What happens in between that?
It took us a long time to get to a million listeners. We're on 55 now, but I don't remember.
Yeah, righto.
Honestly, I don't know. People ask it all the time, and I wish I had like a moment where I was like, I know, that was the... I mean, I guess when Elijah Wood tweeted about it was a big thing.
Sure.
Because it was like, oh shit, people are listening to this, and he's Frodo.
And one of them is Elijah Wood.
Yeah, exactly. Or as my dad said... Bilbo listens.
There was that great, one of my favourite Rocky moments is when you had Elijah on in season 2.
Yeah.
They got all the famous people who listened to the podcast. They
all the famous people?
All the famous bloody Michael Sheen?
Yeah, Daisy Ridley. How that was allowed. Daisy Ridley from Star Wars, Disney's biggest property ever.
But that was amazing.
Come read porn with us.
But when you had Elijah was the first one you did and... You asked Rocky if he had any questions for Elijah. And Rocky's question was, ask him if he played Bilbo or Frodo.
Yeah. Didn't know. It was the only question he wanted answered.
Fucking Google it.
I was like, I've got one question.
Which one were you, mate?
He loved it, though. Elijah was like, that is brilliant.
He didn't say, though, did he? And it was a good Elijah.
No, he didn't say, because I feel like, you know, that would be insulting.
Exactly.
You know? He knows. He knows he was Bilbo. yeah.
So when it took on kind of this life of its own, when, I mean, like, this is really interesting, because I think one of the things that I certainly didn't realise when I went into listening to it was that you are not a comedian, you're a director.
I get really, I was so nervous about that. I hate this.
Oh.
Sorry.
Would you like another sip of wine?
Because, yeah, you're right. I'm not a performer in any way.
And I also think, I mean, Alice is a broadcaster. And James is a sort of social media...
What is James? Open that to the group. No, he's like a producer. He's like a social media producer, but he also does, like, documentaries. But he also was a presenter back in the day, so he has a lot of experience of, like,
but
being
I do think
in front of a
one of the audience. Things, and especially having you anchor it, one of the things that I really enjoy about it is that you're not a comedian, because when you are a comedian, comedians are the most awful people on the planet, and so
you shouldn't be so hard on yourself.
It's an honourable profession. You have that perspective, and you have a very different perspective, and you're just kind of like literally somebody muddling through this. Like, this thing that has happened to you, and, like, being very honest and open about it rather than being like, what's the funniest take that I can have?
Yeah, do you know, and that is something that we also talked a lot about and are very conscious of as well, because none of us are comedians. And actually, I find when I listen to comedians on a podcast or on anything, really, even when you watch, like, you know, a panel show with comedians, it's very much like, it feels like they're all waiting for their moment to get a laugh. And they're wanting that laugh line, and that's what they're wanting. Whereas for me, James and Alice, we want to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
Like, that's our goal. It's not to get the laugh ourselves. It's to elicit a laugh out of you. Like, that's what I want. Because we're friends, and friends make each other laugh. And that is not really a tradition that you have with comedians all the time, because they're very conscious about how they're
absolutely
coming across.
And I think that's, like, a real, real asset of it. But I want to ask, like, you're not a comedian. You're not... You weren't a podcaster before this.
No.
This is now like a huge part of your life, and is this something that you were going to? Is this a trajectory that you are going to keep following, or?
I don't know. I don't know, honestly. Like when my dad? Do you mean when my dad wrote Porn Events?
Well, I suppose so. Yeah. I mean, like,
am I going to keep making podcasts? Or what do you mean?
Or just sort of in the sphere of what is essentially like you now are the,
because I have this.
Well, you are the front man of the most successful comedy podcast of all time.
But only because my dad wrote the book. That's the thing.
Sure.
But honestly, that is the only reason that I'm on it. Like, you know, James and Alice, because James, Alice and I, we make a lot of stuff together, and they are always the people who are in it.
Oh, what else have you made
together? Oh. Stuff that you don't want to know, because it turns out things are successful for a reason. No, we've like made little web series. We've like written stuff. We all met at university in Leeds, and we all joined the student TV station. That was how we met, because we're massive geeks. And so we just made stuff together for 15 years. So it's like...
You were at university for 15 years?
I'm a very slow learner, yeah.
For the benefit of an Australian audience, or maybe just me, what's a university TV station?
Oh, so universities have, like, societies.
Sure, yeah.
And one of them at Leeds was a student TV station society, which you could join and you could make TV programmes.
But where did it go out on?
It was broadcast around the union and online.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
The internet was around, yeah.
So you guys had been collaborating, and I think that shows that you guys have been collaborating for about 15 years, and you sort of knew each other's rhythms and stuff.
Because we're ratty with each other, and we just like, shut up.
I wanted to ask, like, there's an interesting thing about your podcast, I think, which is like, I actually don't think it can exist. It could exist in any other form. I think two things.
Yeah, that's
true. I think the funniest thing about your podcast to me is that I could not explain the concept of it to somebody from literally 10 years ago. You know what I mean? There is so much backstory. You have to be like, well, people can now self-publish, and there's a thing called, maybe 15 years ago, this podcast, this guy's dad, blah, 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 blah. And I think that, like, in that way, it couldn't be a radio show. It couldn't be anything. It is so
just
purely
content,
that form.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same way that The Last Supper could only be a fresco. You know?
Or an actual event that took place.
Yeah.
Blasphemy, brilliant. Whatever.
Have you ever thought about a different form for it, though? I mean, like, am I just lacking imagination? Or have you ever thought about another form? I mean, you do the live shows.
We do the live shows coming to the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah.
I know.
This is the reason it was built.
yeah. They've been waiting for porn for years, clearly. Do you know what? It's interesting. It is the perfect medium because a lot of people listen to it in their ears on their own. Mm-hmm. Without anyone knowing that they're listening to porn. And that's helpful. It's like when 50... I always call it 50 Colours of Grey because that's what my dad calls it. 50 Shades of Grey. When that became a thing, it became a thing because it was on Kindle and no one could see that
people
were reading porn on the tube. It's similar thing with like the podcast. If it had been a YouTube thing or if it had been, you know, whatever else you can do on, you know, in new media, it kind of wouldn't have found that audience, I don't think. And in terms of it being translated into other things, we've had so many really exciting and really flattering offers and conversations about making it into something else and kind of turning it into like a TV show or a movie or whatever. And we feel so lucky that we've made a show that we, as the three of us and my dad, we're all equal partners in it. It's our show. We own it completely. Mm. And we found the perfect medium. And we've got 55 million listeners and people are really invested in it. I don't want a TV company to be like, oh, so you've just spent loads of time and effort and, you know, risk making something. It's now really popular. Why don't you just go put it on our platform and we'll take 50% of your IP and we'll, you know, why? Mm. You don't need to do that. Like, we've made a show that we're really proud of and we've found the right home for it.
And it was the home
medium
that it started in, which is
Yeah,
which
and
is
I just
amazing.
Feel like, you know, we as like new media people, like, because there's becoming an increasing divide, I feel like, in terms of, you know, content creation. No risks are being taken by my generation in traditional media, like TV, film.
How do you mean? Like, in terms
well,
of
no one.
No
so, so I was chatting to a guy he's called John Lloyd, who made like Spitting Image and Blackadder and Not the 9 o'clock News, all these amazing TV shows in the 70s, and he was like 26 when he joined the BBC as a producer, and they just said, "Look, we think you're talented. Go make stuff. Mm. Go for it." And Blackadder, the first series bombed.
Yeah.
And they looked at it again and they reassessed it and they were, no one's doing that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if we'd have gone to the BBC or anybody else and said, look, we want to make a show about my dad wrote a porno, he wrote this book, they'd have been like, great, no, you have to make it yourself now. Mm. You know.
And you make it yourself, you put it out yourself, and then, as you say, once it's successful, once you've done the work, they come and knock it.
Yeah.
You go, oh, can we have a bit of that?
And sometimes that's really great for you. So like, Phoebe Waller-Bridge in the UK, who makes a show called Fleabag, I don't know if that's over here, it's on Amazon. That was a one-woman show that she worked for years, you know, honing, making, and then she brought it onto TV and, you know, she just won a BAFTA for it. It's hugely successful. And that's great because that worked for her. But for us, you know, our podcast, luckily for us, and purely by fluke, we have a great audience. Mm. Like, we don't feel the need to legitimize it through a different medium. I'm really proud to be a podcaster. I'm really proud that our show is a podcast. Mm. And I don't feel like I need to kind of... And none of us feel like we need to, yeah, like, legitimize what we're doing by making it a TV show or making it a film. Saying that, the musical will be coming in 2020. So have fun with that.
We will take your questions pretty soon, so maybe start making your way to the mics. I will say a couple of things.
Do you know how that works? You have to like walk to the mics. Is that a normal thing in Australia?
What happens in Britain? The little drone comes.
People come and give it to you.
No, lardy bloody da, mate.
I know.
Make your way to the mic. I would say a couple of things about your questions. Obviously, keep them brief. And two. Have two things in mind. Ask yourself before you ask these questions. One, is this question about Jamie and my dad wrote a porno? And two, is this question insane? That's a yes and no. Those are the...
So yes, it's insane. No, it's not about
me. Yeah. Cool. I want to ask, before we start taking questions, so please start making your way. You've kind of touched on it from bit to bit. What's Rocky... How's Rocky dealt with this? Because he seems to me, from hearing when you talk about him on the podcast occasionally, he seems to just be taking all of this in his stride.
Oh, my God, he loves it. I mean, but he does. We've brought his book to an audience, you know, which for an e-book and, you know, self-publishing, that's really hard to do. I mean, maybe not be the audience he wants, but it's an audience. But no, he is the biggest fan of My Dad Wrote a Porno. He literally is. He listens to it all the time. And he's always like, so I've been thinking about the show. So maybe when you get Adele on, we can do this with her. I'm like, yeah, probably not going to happen, Dad.
But he knows that sort of ostensibly it's viciously, but not cruelly, mocking his work. How does he square that? Or does he just not give a shit?
Like, well, he doesn't give a shit, but also he is always like, guys, whenever we're all together, like the four of us, he's like, guys, just so you know, one day you'll understand.
Oh, so he thinks he's fucking written Ulysses.
When you're older, you'll get it. You can't grab a cervix. And what doesn't help, actually, while I'm on this mini rant, what doesn't help is Michael Sheen coming on the show and actually legitimately comparing him to Shakespeare. That doesn't help.
That was a wonderful moment.
Well, it was, but then, like, that's now my dad's email signature.
Really?
Shakespeare-esque, Michael Sheen. Thanks, Mikey. Appreciate that. Do you know what I mean? Like, we should stop encouraging him. No, but in all seriousness, he absolutely loves the show. Of course, I mean, as if I would ever do it without his full blessing.
No, of course.
You know?
I just wonder, like, he's written, I mean, I think one of the best things about it is that he wrote all four before you started this. So in a way, the season two and hopefully the seasons to come.
Season three, it starts on Monday, by
the way.
There
you go!
I know.
Yeah.
That's like in, like, a day. Fuck. Should record it.
So, yeah, see, the great thing about it is that they're kind of unadulterated in a way. Like they are
the pure Flintstonian work.
Because it's just... It is, because it's a bloke writing, and that's what I love about it. There's a naive... It's, you know what it is? It's dramatic irony. It's like, it's this guy writing this thing in his shed that he thinks that no one really is ever going to read, least of all the girls.
And, yeah, really.
And he's writing this thing with no feedback, no nothing, and you know that 55 million people are going to listen to it.
I know.
But so he's written these four. Do you think he's going to... I mean, do you think he's going to write more, or do you think...
Do I think he's going to write... I know for a fact he hasn't stopped writing since we started. We have actually tried to legally stop him, but apparently that's not allowed.
So at his rate of... Like, is his speed? I mean, he's probably written about 10 now. Same
Do you know what? No, interestingly, I think he's on his seventh.
Same franchise?
So I think he's learned. He's taken some time. He's thought, do you know what? I should spend at least a week on Belinda Blink 5.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
I should...
He's gone the full Donna Tartt. Like, he's really... Yeah.
Because he's always like, there is a story, Jamie. You just haven't got there yet. In three books! How long do you think people are going to wait around for a story?
Oh. All right, we might start taking some questions. I can see people at this microphone. Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just wondering, is Belinda Blink like an actual fantasy, like an erotic fantasy that your dad has like thought about and is like turned on by? Like, just curious.
Well, that's as good a place to start as any.
Isn't it?
And look, I will say about Jamie, not insane. Thank you very much.
I have a real issue with the F word.
Fantasy
doesn't work for me in the context of my dad's pornography. It's not his fantasy. It's his brain tree that will be felled at any moment. I don't think that he... I mean, I'm sure he probably finds it sexy. Yeah, great, whatever, next question. No, I'm sure... Well, he definitely thinks that it's sexy. Thank you.
Yeah.
He definitely thinks that I'm going to need it. Thanks. thinks it's sexy, thinks that Titanic nipples are, you know, really, really, really hot.
I think that was my public transport moment, by the way. I recall distinctly I was on the 470 and lost my fucking mind.
For the...
The rivets on the Titanic.
The Duchess's nipple. For people who don't know the show, my dad describes the Duchess, who's a shit character. He describes her nipples as being as large as the 3-inch rivets which held the hull of the fateful Titanic together. So... that's a fantasy if I ever heard one. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was the worst answer. I'm sorry.
Yes, hiya. Sorry.
Are you back?
Hello. Oh, yeah. Oh.
So the accents, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because you mentioned, obviously, he's continued to write and that he does listen to the podcast. So I was just wondering if you're worried at all that he's actually going to take on some of the feedback and criticism, literary criticism that you're giving him, and the writing might actually improve and not be funny anymore.
I am worried about that. I'm worried that my dad might learn to spell.
Strange thing, we have had spell check for the better part of 2 decades.
But not on the computer he uses, honestly. It's Spanish. He bought it in Spain because it was cheaper, honestly. The keyboard doesn't... he like once asked me, where's the full stop on this machine? You've written 3 books on it. Am I worried about that? Yes, I am. And I think that's an interesting thing about, how far realistically the show can go, really. Because, you're right. The minute he knows who he's writing for or why he's writing. But then saying that, we did a Christmas episode where Belinda goes to her office and microwaves some mulled wine. And he just couldn't understand why that was funny. He was like, Jamie, love the episode, lots of lovely money raised for the charity. Why do you find that so funny? So I live in hope that actually he doesn't quite know why we're all here tonight.
We might
be okay.
Thank you very much for your question. We might take one from up here.
Hello.
Hey. Success. Hey,
this one works. She actually took my question away from me, but I was going to ask basically as well, do you think you really lucked out with Alice and James, like that your chemistry is so, I mean, it's infectious basically.
Oh, thanks.
And I use infectious in the pejorative sense.
We're sexually transmitted friends, that's what we are.
Because it could have easily totally failed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I mean, they make me laugh, and that's as good a gauge as any, I guess, when you're trying to make a show that... And did I look out? Yeah, I did. And they're amazing, and they are so brilliantly kind and patient with my dad as well. Like, because he is a self-confessed maverick. James, I'm a maverick. You'll never get me off Twitter. And it's like, yeah, we know. He was like, he was drunk tweeting at 2 a.m. an American podcast called Crime Writers On the other day. And they mentioned it on their podcast to be like, is this the real guy or is that a bot?
Does he not have a tick?
Does he have a tick? He barely has an at. No.
I reckon there's probably someone from Twitter here tonight who can make that happen.
Oh, so don't verify him, please.
Please verify Rocky Flintstone.
But I did. They're great. Alison Jones are great.
And we'll get to your question in just a moment.
This actually isn't your bit anymore. You should.
Yeah, okay, go for it. Yeah.
Hi, I'm actually a creative writing student at UTS, so just thank you for bringing this work to the literary world.
Please ignore it all. don't use this as
But actually, I just wanted to ask how you feel about Belinda, because there's been a lot of controversy, like, is she a feminist hero? Is she a mess? So what's your take on Belinda? Mm.
I think she's both a complex character, is often both a contradiction of want and desires. I feel that Belinda is... I think she is, I mean, to call her a character is a push. She's a name on a page who has a lot of sex, not all of it well advised. I actually think that I'm in the camp of her being a feminist heroine, personally. Because, and this is genuinely true, sex is always on her terms. It's never what she doesn't want. She's always in control at every point. Even when you think that she isn't, it actually turns out that she is because her mind tells her so. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, you really kind of get to the point where you're like, this is an amazing piece of fiction. And it's fiction.
Yes.
What do you think, though?
Yeah, actually.
I am a big fan of that she's a heroine. I've recently brought this up in my creative writing class and I went, you guys should all be listening to this. And they're going, what the hell have you been listening to? I'm like, trust me, it's not weird just because it has porn in the title. But no, weird, I'm like, she's a hero. You know, she gets what she wants. She's in the world of pots and pans. She's a go-getter. And they're like, I think you're deluded.
When you get what you want, you feel great. And so she feels great. So, yeah.
Do you realise that you are single-handedly responsible for this woman failing her creative writing course?
I know.
My bill will be in the mail.
I hope you get a grant because the government's going to be on my ass.
Yes, this might be stepping up.
Hi, thanks very much for the podcast.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening to it.
I'm a road hazard when I'm driving to work because of your podcast. So your father's remained largely anonymous, you know, to us and all of that.
And to me, actually.
And, and I'm just curious about how do his friends feel? How does his dentist, your dentist feel? Or how does his English teacher feel?
Our shared dentist.
Like, you know, like all these other people that know who he is, how do they deal with this?
No one does. He's Banksy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, given that he sent the book to me, proves that he doesn't have any friends, so that isn't a problem. I'm joking. So I love you, Dad. Because he will find a way to have heard this, just so you know. He like reads everything. He's like, very good interview. Enjoyed it. Be nice to that young lady. She was good to you. I'm like, all right, thanks. Yeah, people do know because he goes everywhere with like a huge stack of Rocky Flintstone business cards. Which I should have brought with me today, actually, and I could have thrown them out to you guys.
Oh, my God, that's just a collector's item.
I know, they are. And he signs each one ahead of time, so. And it's really funny, like, he'll, like, come to London and to have
it's
meetings
so cruel
and stuff.
To mention.
Oh, sorry. Well,
there was a woman in the front row who literally did, like, a cartoon, like,
Oh, I'm sorry. He's also recently made badges. And they're really small. They're like that big, and it just says "I Pomegranate Rocky" on it. And so he gives those out to people as well. So, but we've been in restaurants before when he's been like down in London to have meetings and whatever, or just to see me and my sisters. And he's like, we're at a restaurant, and the waitress will bring the check or whatever, and he'll be like, "Thank you very much. There's your tip." And she's invariably just, you know, some young woman who has no idea what the podcast is, what a podcast is anyway. Who's this old man sending? Because it's basically a picture of like a naked lady. Why am I saying naked lady like my dad? It's a naked woman. Sorry.
It's happening.
Yeah, no, it is. A 69, for God's sake, Wilma. A 69 is the shape of a naked lady, of course. So I do say naked lady quite a lot now. But yeah, it's like it's just basically like a massive drawing of a naked lady, and on the reverse, his email address, flintstonerocky@gmail.com, not rockyflintstone@gmail.com because that would be obviously too logical for him. So people do know, people love it. He's only lost one friend, and been disowned, but whatever. Who's counting?
We might head up here. Thank
yeah.
You.
Hi. Given how invested Rocky seems in the whole project that you're doing, I've just wondered if there's any idea that he's had that you've actually considered taking him up on because of what he said was like, when you have Adele on the show.
Well, Adele listens to the show.
Really?
We have it on good authority that she listens to it. Someone was at a dinner party and they were saying, talking about my dad wrote porno, and she like leaned over and said, "Oh my God, I heard that. I love it. Oh my God." So
I would say just
that third-hand story is good enough for me. I mean, that is my one and only source.
I reckon if you want to get on the podcast, the key is to keep impersonating her cruelly in public.
James does do it on the first footnotes episode. I just stole his joke, but who cares? Yeah, do you know, and interesting, because our live show, right? I don't know if anyone has anyone been to London and seen our live show? Probably not. Is anyone coming to the live show at the Sydney Opera House? Great, amazing. Please be kind and just laugh. That all came about because when I first said that I was going to do a podcast, my dad just sent me so much crap over email, like passages, diagrams,
Sir James diagrams? Godwin
coat of arms, like just weird stuff that he was like, this could be useful for you. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll probably just use the books that you wrote. But in all of that crap is the lost chapter that we use for our live show. So he invariably, like he unwittingly helped us create the live show because he sent us a chapter that never appeared in any of the books that we then read as a live show. So he's kind of a genius as well. I do call him a mad scientist of language, amongst other things.
So. My head up here.
Yeah. In your opinion, who is the most tragic figure in the Belinda Blink universe?
That is a great question.
Rocky Flintstone. Next
question. And that is a great answer. Just over here.
Maybe, no, actually, it's actually Bella.
Bella? Yeah, poor
Why?
Bella slash Donna.
Because no, she's doing that shake. She's Adele. Oh my God, my Bella voice is Adele's voice.
But was she really Adele until you gave her that accent? Like, was
I don't know where I got
feel
that
was kind of more you, Jamie.
No, yeah, probably, yeah. Bella slash Donna, whoever, you know. Again, for people who haven't heard, my dad calls a character is called Bella for the whole book. Then one chapter, she turns into Donna for about four paragraphs, then goes back to being Bella again.
One of the things I love is because obviously you know your father so well, there's great moments in the podcast where you will go, oh, he's drunk here. Like, he's riding drunk here.
What was great about that moment was that I was on a bus with him. We were going to watch the tennis at Wimbledon together, because we do that as a family, you know. And we were on the bus going there, and I was like, this was really early before we'd like properly recorded the show. And I was like, Dad, she goes from Bella to Donna? And he was like, oh, I can't believe I did that. And it was just the most amazingly reassuring moment of this is so real. It's so good. I was like, it wasn't like that he knew. He just was like, I know. And I was like, and you still like sent it to Amazon. Like.
All right, let's hit here.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey,
I'm an editor at a book publisher, so I love your weekly deconstruction of the text.
Oh, good.
My question's about accents. Belinda has introduced pots and pans to the state of Texas and the continent of Russia.
Yes.
What civilizations do you want her to bring this marvelous industry to so you can do the accent for it?
I'd love her to go to Australia.
Can I say Jamie does an amazing Australian accent. I've heard it.
Oh, can we hear it?
No.
Do it.
I've got nothing to say.
Do it. Say I grabbed a cervix.
Oh my God, she grabbed a cervix real bad. That's awful. That's an awful. What should I say? Oh my God, it's just embarrassing to even talk about my dad's porn like this. It's just disgusting. I hate it. I don't want to be in this country anymore. It's disgusting. Get out of my face. That sort of thing. So I think we could maybe. But then that's the annoying thing. I don't have any control over where we go. So even with series three, we've recorded about three episodes. Nothing's happened. In three chapters, nothing actually. Although chapter one, oh my God.
Well, have a word to Rocky because Australia needs pots and pans.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Australia would be...
We've got to wrap up pretty soon, so let's try and get through as many of you guys as possible.
Yep. Hello. Hi.
Hey.
I had a question, and look, it's going to go on a bit of a deeper level. It's a bit intellectual, but in one of the episodes you mentioned, I think it was one of the earlier episodes, you mentioned that a couple had written to you about the fact that they decided to lose their virginity together after having listened to the podcast because to them the podcast showed them that having sex wasn't a big deal.
It was
kind of taking the piss. And so... Mm. You know, I wanted to know if you thought that you know, the podcast was valuable in undermining the porn industry and showing that sex wasn't a big deal and that, in fact, it was quite a normal and often at times a ridiculous thing that
and
two people
funny.
Do together.
And you can have fun doing it. It's not... Because they were really... This young couple, they put sex on such a pedestal that they just couldn't get past that moment of, like, oh, my God, we're going to have sex. And, you know, because, yeah, it is intimidating and scary when you first have sex. And from listening to our podcast, they realised, oh, no, yeah, you can laugh about it. It is not so scary. It should be fun. And, yeah, I do think that. And I think also in the UK, I don't know what your culture is here in terms of, like, talking about sex and stuff, but the Brits are so shit at it. But, like, people are talking about sex and porn and cervixes and...
A lot of that.
Breast nipples all over the UK, and I think that's a really... But honest, but in all seriousness, I think that's actually a really important kind of taboo to, like, break down, because it is so unhelpful, actually. And people really have an issue talking about sex and sexuality. And you were talking about kinks earlier, like how, you know, that's still very much judged. And like in like book two, my dad has somehow learned about love eggs. I don't know where from.
I think you did a lot of Googling between one and two.
Oh, marginally, yeah, maybe. But again, it's like, let's talk about stuff. Let's talk about, you know, how you actually successfully pleasure each other. Yeah, I think there's a whole conversation to be had. In all seriousness, and I was once on a panel, right, about sex and tech, which I knew nothing about.
Was this because of the blue jizz?
This was because I did my dad wrote a porn. They were like, do you want to come on the panel? I was like, is there free wine? Yes. Yeah, sure. And it was like this like East London like cool hipster joint, which I would like threw up over. And I was like, oh, God. But actually, as I was engaging in this wider conversation, it was really interesting. And you're right. There is so much discussion that can and needs to be had. And if our podcast can be a gateway into beginning to talk about sex in a positive way, then that's great.
I think we'll actually... It's a wonderful place to leave it, actually. I will say that Jamie...
Really? Cool. Pomegranates! There you go.
I will say that Jamie's going to be signing... the book that he mentioned earlier, it's My Dad Wrote a Porno. It's the first book and it's all annotated by the three of them.
Yeah, we made it into kind of a spoof York Notes study guide as if Belinda Blinkt was like one of the greats of literature, like Shakespeare or Jane Austen.
It is,
so it's, yeah.
It is honestly it is the visual equivalent of listening to the podcast.
Oh my God.
Somebody has it there, exactly.
Oh my God, someone's got it there. And just two, cool.
Somebody's got it. That's
I'll be in the bar in about 3 minutes because I've signed two books.
Jamie's going to be signing those books, but would you please join me in thanking Jamie Morton so much? Thank you.